You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Okay, our scripture reading today is in Colossians 1, 24 through 27, starting at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, of which I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
John chapter 16. We continue in our lesson on all truth, this being the second lesson in all truth. And we're going to recap just real quickly back at John 16 right after we pray. So let's join our hearts and minds together now. Father God, do thank you as you have set this time aside in our lives, that we might be here and we might fellowship around the Word and the Word rightly divided, that we might find approval in your sight to be workmen, students of the Scripture who are not ashamed. Father, we thank you for the blessing that it brings as we understand the last revelation that you've given by the hand of Paul as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. And we pray that we're faithful to it, to the calling that you've given us here at Northside Bible Church. So, Father, you set this time aside. We pray that you bless it, that you edify each and every heart that's here this morning. And we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All truth. Christ said in verse 12 of John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, last week we looked at the fact that the all truth that is spoken of here was not anything that was found in the Gospels. It was not anything that was found in the Acts period in which the epistles by James and John and Jude and Peter were written. Even the epistles by Paul. You remember the Acts period epistles that Paul wrote? There is no new truth in them because Paul in his testimony before Agrippa said, I speak of no other things than that which is written by Moses and in the prophets. So there's no new revelation there. There's no all truth to be found in those epistles. But we did find, if you go back over to today's lesson in Colossians chapter 1, we did find that Paul talks about a new revelation. He talks about a mystery. He talks about something that's not hidden in Scripture, but something that was hidden from generations and from ages. Let's look at that real quickly in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Paul talks about something that had been given to him to complete the Word of God. Back up to verse 25. He says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to complete or fulfill to the Word of God. That's filled to the full. So we find now in the letters of Paul, in the prison epistles, we find now the completed Word of God. And in that completed Word of God, we should find what Christ was talking about when he said all truth. Scripture is progressive. Christ promised that when the Spirit of truth would come, he would lead you or guide you into all truth. Not only did he promise to do that, he promised here to make God's will known, and that, he says, is called the mystery. And even declares it in such a fashion that it can't be missed or overlooked. In verse 25, a dispensation, a new dispensation, a new economy, a new administration, something that has changed from the old economy and the old administration. Today I want to continue, and of course I want to give credit again to Mr. Mills, who wrote the book All Truth, that this is basically a reiteration of his studies and going through the Scriptures and teaching us what he has already put forth. And if you want to get the book All Truth and follow along during the week and read and catch up or re-emphasize what I'm going to re-emphasize up here, I recommend you do that. One of the things that God says is that he will make this known. There are many things he said that I can't tell you now, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. If you'll look at verse 25, I'm sorry, verse 27, Paul says, in reference to the saints, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. It says, God would. It doesn't say God will. It's not mandatory. It's not something that he forces on you. This is the Greek word thelo. Thelo means it's kind of a wish or a desire by God. It's not something that he's going to impress upon you the minute you're a born-again Christian. You move from the ranks of the unsaved sinner into the ranks of the saint. Just two types of people. Those that are saints and those that are ain'ts. And when you move into the ranks of the saints, God doesn't give you this knowledge. He says it's something that he wishes or he desires for you to know. It doesn't come from just automatically becoming a saint. It comes from the study of the Word of God, because that's the truth that God has given us today. The last revelation, the writings of Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. There's a synonymous word that's similar to this, but before I say what that is, think about this word thelo, T-H-E-L-O, thelo. It's a word that means it's a desire. He would. It's a wish. I wish you would know this. I wish you would spend time understanding this and studying this. It's more something that doesn't come out of a deliberate mindset. The reasoning that comes from the mind is something that more comes out of the heart. It's an impulse of the emotion. And God has that. I always wondered about that. God so loved the world. What's that word so mean? Just think about that. I wish you had called me so much. Oh, I want to go see that movie so bad. I guess it means much or more. It almost carries with it that emotion, doesn't it? That feeling that it's a heartfelt thing that God wants. And that's what the word means. I mean, it doesn't really come out of the mind making some kind of determination and then going forward with that that focus. It's more of it's a wish, it's a desire. Paul Harvey has a wonderful story he talks about at, I think it's Easter. I'm going to say it's during Easter time. And the fellow that lives in the house, and the birds are out there and it's cold and they can't get into the house, and they keep trying to come into his window, and he said they can't come in, but if I could just get them to go to the barn, if I could tell them to go to the barn, if I could teach them that's where they'd be warm and they'd be safe and they'd find comfort and rest, if I could just talk to them like a bird talks to a bird. There's that emotional feeling that you have. And of course, you know, that the whole point of Paul Harvey's story is that's what God did. He couldn't talk to us human beings. He became a human being so he could talk to us. That's the impact of doing that. But that's what this word means. Now, there's a synonymous word. It's bulema. And it means, it's the same word that's translated wish or want. I would. But it means more than the emotional response. It's something that comes out of maybe a deliberate mind think. Let's go back and look at the first time these two words appear. They appear together in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And I think we see a tremendous differentiation by looking at this verse. Both words appear in this verse. And the purpose of this is to show you that in Colossians 1:27, when God says He would make known unto you, it's something that He's not going to force upon you. He's not going to set His mind and then direct His focus on making you know it as He would in other things. For instance, the sin that a believer might find himself in, God will bring chastisement in your life. He will set His mind to be sure that you go through that, in order that you can be exercised by it, or at least have the option to be exercised by it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, familiar story, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her, that's Mary, a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The first word, willing, is the word thelo. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wishing or desiring to make her a public example. That comes from the heart, the feelings that Joseph had for Mary. It prompted him to have this thought, I don't want Mary to have to go through what you have to go through, which in those times, if she's found to have committed fornication outside of wedlock, she'd be stoned. He doesn't want to do that because of the feelings that he has towards her. Now, the second word we see, he was minded. That's that word, bulema. That means to be minded. That's a reasoned out effort. And it's really kind of based on the first word, fellow. It was because he wished her not to have to become a public example that then he was minded, he set his mind, he reasoned it out, and he focused on what his course of action would be. He was minded. He was minded not to put her away. No, he was minded to put her away privately, quietly, not in the public eye, so that she wouldn't have to suffer that. Does that kind of help you understand the difference between the two? There's another illustration. Okay, let's go over to 2 Peter. And here's that word, I keep wanting to say bonanza because that's in town. I talked to Chris about it this morning. Bulema. And I'm not even a Greek scholar. I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing or not. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll see this word again. And this, it's a wish or a will of the mind from the mental standpoint. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not bulema, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what was it that God did in order to provide the opportunity that none would perish? He sent forth his Son at the appointed time. So it was God's direct will. It was his mind in action from a mental standpoint to do this, to set his course, to accomplish his purpose, to provide salvation to all of mankind and to all of creation. Now, the other aspect of this, the word fellow, in regard to salvation, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 4. And here we see the passion of God's heart. We see it demonstrated in this word fellow. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God, whose desire, it says whose will, but it's not his will imposed upon man, because never will God impose his will. You have your choice. Now that doesn't take away the sovereignty of God. God's still going to do what he wants to do. So when the unbeliever comes to the day of judgment, he has a terrible reckoning to face. But it's God's desire, not a considered deliberation, not a reasoning of the mind, but an emotion of the heart. It's God's desire that all men be saved. How did he accomplish that? When did he put his mind into action and focus on the accomplishment of that? Is when he took on the form of man. And great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested. So here we see this word is that word will. It's God, in a better translation might be his desire. God's desire is to have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. So we need to understand those words. We need to know them because they have a tremendous impact on our understanding of our lesson today. Let's go back and remember where we started in verse Colossians chapter 1 in verse 27. To these saints, God would. It's his heart desire. It's not anything that God would force he's not going to force his truth on these saints. Not in this day of grace is he going to force his truth upon these saints. But it is to these saints God desires to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. It is his desire that we know that. It is his desire for us to understand that. It is his desire for us to pay attention to that. His intention is that we pay attention to his last revelation. And if in this, in these prison epistles, these books that are written by him in the prison letters, carry forth this message, and this is the message, the last revelation by God, we need to know about. We don't need to know the ones before, although it doesn't hurt us to know the ones before, because it says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by God. We're not excluding any other Scripture. We're not preventing us from learning and knowing any other Scripture. But we don't operate and act upon what the old orders were. Okay, you remember in the garden, do you remember God gave Adam something to eat? What was it? It was every herb and every fruit-bearing tree. He could eat from all of those things. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9. But after the flood, God changed the diet of mankind. Before the flood, we were mankind was a vegetarian. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, let's start with just verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea. And your hand, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food or meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, Noah wasn't prevented from going back and eating the fruit, the herbs, the vegetables, the vegetarian diet. But what he was told was that now, under the new revelation, you can also eat the meat. And if he didn't eat the meat, then he would come short of what God's intentions were for his life. And we know what that did to those who didn't pay attention to what God had to say. We knew what vegetarian type diets will do. Don't we? Do you remember? It leaves the spirit of man open to the infestation of the spirit world. All of the world religions that are contrary to the Judeo-Christian belief promote in one form or facet vegetarian type eating. And the whole purpose behind that is to open up the spirit of man to the demonic spirits that are in the world. God has given us all things there to eat. In fact, he even tells us this. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I mean, we've had friends in our life and friends of our children who picked up new diets and vegetarian type diets. Diets that don't include meat. And we've explained to them these scriptures, and they're Christian people, and they have a hard time dealing with it. They have a difficult time dealing with what the Word of God says, but God is very clear. You can go back and you can read in Genesis chapter 6, the whole reason that God brought the flood was to eradicate the spirit infestation that had occurred because they were stuck on a vegetarian diet. Sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? But let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And remember who wrote the book. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from what? Meats. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. Now, before the flood, God hadn't commanded them to eat that. He hadn't given thanksgiving on that food. It was a vegetarian diet. But what's the last revelation that God gave in regard to this? You can eat it. He says, in fact, those who practice not eating it, those who go back before the flood, they're listening to the demonic demons and seducing spirits, in verse 1. The seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay. When we get to this point, come back to Colossians. At Colossians chapter 1. When we come to this point in Scripture, and God begins to enlighten your eyes in regard to it. You have a choice that you have to make. Are you going to listen to the last revelation by God, or are you going to base your life on a previous revelation, one that was given during the Gospels, or one that was given during the Acts period? When we read this in verse 27, to the saints, God's not talking about the ain'ts, He's talking to the saints. He says, to the saints God would make known God's desire, His wish is that you would know this. We ought to stand up and go like who was that little boy? Samuel. Kept going to Eli and he said, Eli, what did you want? Eli said, wasn't me, go back to bed. And he gets up and you know, he hears someone say, Samuel. And he gets up and he goes into Eli and he says, Eli, what did you want? He says, wasn't me, go back to bed. And third time he hears it, Samuel. He gets up and Eli says, it is the Lord. Go back and listen. And the next time he said, Samuel, what did Samuel do? He sat up and said, here I am, Lord, speak. We ought to have the same attitude when we read this. God's children. It's not so much a salvation message is not a part of this. It is very much a part of this. But this isn't to the unbeliever. This is to the believer. This new revelation. And so believers, when they read this, ought to go, hey, this is something new. I've got to pay attention to this. Because it's God's intention that I know it. But what they do is they do something they shouldn't do. They take this and they take it back into the old economy during the Acts period or the Gospels, and they try to muddle it through that and say it applies back then when it doesn't apply at all. To what went, and it can't fit back there. It's like Noah trying to apply a vegetarian diet after the flood. It doesn't fit. It's not what God has called for the current time, the current revelation. Let me give you another example. Turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Now that was the commandment then. In the first sending forth of his disciples, he told them specifically in verse 3, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, nor two coats apiece. Now that's changed. Go over to Luke chapter 22. We'll start at verse 35. They've come down from the upper room. They're on their way to Gethsemane. And he says unto them in verse 35, when I sent you without purse and bag and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. So that's the old orders. Got it? The old orders were to go without these things. He says, did you lack anything? And they said, no, we didn't lack anything. Everything that we needed was provided for. Verse 36, then said he unto them, then. I love those words that are time words, those words that put a point in time and stop us. Then he said unto them, but now, there's another time word. He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his bag. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Things changed. That's the new revelation. That's the last order that they were given, at least up to this point in Scripture when we're reading. If they went as they were told to go the first time, without the bag, without the money, without the bread, without the coat, without all of that, they'd be in trouble. Because at that time, when that order was given, they didn't lack anything. But this time, what? They'd lack a whole lot. So we see in the illustration of Noah that if you don't pay attention to the most recent order, you're going to come short of what God's full intention is for your life. What we see here in this illustration is that if we don't pay attention to the last order, you're going to lack something that you need. And you'll find out you need it desperately. Now, Paul talks about this, and he go to Ephesians chapter 6. He talks about how critical it is and how important it is, and we see another aspect of this by looking here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians being the first book that Paul wrote when he was in prison, so he was a prison. This is a prison epistle. See, just as much as God desired for the unsaved sinner not to perish, but to come to the understanding of life, God's desire for the saint is that he would know this mystery. He has just as much a heartfelt, but he never goes into any sinner's life and says, you have to be saved and you're going to be saved, and he sits on them and forces them. Doesn't do that. He's not going to do that to a saint about this that he wants them to know. Look at Paul. He says in verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18 of Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that in this I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now we can look at verse 20 and we can change a couple of words. For which refers back to the mystery. For the mystery I am an ambassador in bonds. That in this, what? The mystery, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And it's interesting that Paul says, I am in bonds. So we know that in his prison epistles, how important this is, or that the importance of it is that it appears in the prison epistles. In fact, he emphasized it even more so back in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 1. In chapter 3, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner. He reiterates the fact that he's in bonds. So we know without a doubt, and we know already from studies that these prison epistles were written at the close of the Acts period, when Acts was over with. And God's prisoner was in bonds for the hope of Israel. That came to a conclusion. And now he juxtaposed right next to it, and he says, compare these things. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So bonds is very much, and being in prison is very much, and so we understand that it's in those letters, those prison letters, that we begin to see this truth that he says, I wish you would pray so that I could speak boldly about him, even in his own life. That's what his desire is. Not in the Acts period epistles. Remember that study we did on ape? Everybody's gone ape? Everybody's gone ape. And APE stood for, the acronym was Acts period epistles. And most of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over Christianity, Christendom today, are crazy about Acts period epistles. They want to be just like those 12 that were sent forth in Luke chapter 9. They want to be able to heal the sick, and they want to have authority over demons and spirits. Yeah, it doesn't apply today. It's not part of the calling that God has given to us. So we've got to pay attention to the last revelation. We need to listen to the last revelation that God has called us to listen to, not imposing it over on the old revelation and thinking it applies to that, which would be wrong, because if you ate meat during the vegetarian time, that was disobedient. We shouldn't no more try to apply the teachings of this new revelation, which was hidden. Come back to Colossians, emphasize this one more time. Chapter 1, verse 26. Let's back up and read verse 25 again. This gives us a fuller, as we read it, 25, 26, and 27. Paul says, in regard to the church, I am made a minister. You know, his ministry was so much different than when it was in the Acts period epistles. In fact, 2 Corinthians. Hold your hand there. We're going to come right back to Colossians. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Looking at the ministry of Paul, he says, speaking of God, he says, God also made us able ministers of what? The new covenant. Yeah, or it says New Testament, but it's a new covenant. The new covenant. And look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Ministry of what? The new covenant. Well, who did he make the new covenant with? Jeremiah 31, 31. To the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not to us Gentiles. Okay, come back to Colossians. Paul says in verse 25, hope you're still with me. Verse 25, I am made a minister according to not anything old, but a dispensation of God which is given to me for who? For you. You Gentiles. To complete the Word of God, the last revelation. Verse 26, even the mystery which has been hidden, not in Scripture, but from ages, that's from time, and from generation, that's from people. But now, remember in Luke 22, he said, but now take with you these things. The same, but now it's made manifest to his saints. And look at what our calling is. Look at what it is over here. Look up here. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That word see, that's that same idea of manifest, to make it manifest. That idea of being, what's the word, protizo? A little light beam just shooting out. Making people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Even here in Ephesians it says, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, not Scripture. And that's where we'll start next week. We'll look at the things that are from the beginning of the ages and things that were before the beginning of the ages. Which will be a really good study, and we'll finish. Let's finish reading here in Colossians. He says in verse 27, to these things God would, God's desire, His heart's desire, His saints would know what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Do they know it automatically? No. That's why it's His desire they would know it. And that's why it's Paul's desire that you pray for him that he would be bold enough to be able to speak it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ among you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's for this I labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the Word and the last revelation, the completion of Your Word, and the promise that You've given that all truth would be revealed, and You have fulfilled that. And we have that opportunity, Father, to learn it, to know it, to study these prison epistles that Paul has given us, and to know all truth, the last revelation. May that make a deep imprint on our heart and our mind, and a desire to get to know You and to study the Word more often. We thank You, Father, for these graces. As You attend to each heart's need in regard to this matter, we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.